Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Millennial Mirrors, a discussion on millennial life in the Middle East. Before we jump into this episode, I really wanted to just take a moment and thank you guys, the listeners. Your support has been amazing. The comments and messages you guys send me about how you're enjoying the episodes or how the episodes have made you think about things in a different way have really made making this podcast worth it. So I just wanted to give you guys a shout out before we get started. Our episode today revolves around the expectations and definition of success, what it is and how do we achieve it. Success as a definition has changed vastly over the past couple of decades, and this is one of the subjects that I really wanted to discuss in today's episode. I feel so many people nowadays fall into two categories, kind of. They're either focused on trying so hard to think of that next big idea that is going to make them rich, like Facebook or Blablabot or Kareem, or they're just trying to get famous and well-known. It's almost as if it's not enough to live a normal life or an above average life. Everyone is aiming for that top 1 or 5%. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with ambition, but when your definition of success is ridiculous wealth or fame, you are most likely setting yourself up for an unhappy life. And with us today to discuss the issue and help us make better decisions, hopefully, is Lino Qaddoumi, who is a social development consultant for the Ministry of Youth in Kuwait. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So just to get started, can you tell the listeners a bit about yourself?
My name is Lino Qaddoumi again. I've lived abroad most of my life, and now I've been back to Kuwait for 6 years, working in the social development space. So initially, I've done a lot of volunteer work, some social activism, worked as a program manager and then a fundraising manager at Injaz Kuwait, which is an international nonprofit organization that aims to empower young people to own their economic success. Now I'm working as a social development consultant, primarily with a team of consultants developing the national youth policy. So we're working with the Ministry of Youth to basically understand the youth population of Kuwait, which by the way is 72%, understand what makes them tick, what excites them, what are their aspirations, and what are their perceptions of Kuwait today and in the future. And all of this because, one, there's very little knowledge on young people in Kuwait, and two, because it's such a large population that is largely untapped as well. And so the government is very keen on understanding what are the youth needs and how to activate the role of young people by enabling them and empowering them to be more active members of society and having society understand and appreciate their role as well and what they can contribute.
72%, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the percentage of what age gap is, what age group is
good
that?
Good question. 0 to 34. So it's a pretty large subset of society.
And we fall in that, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're still safe. We're still youth.
Okay, good to know.
Yes.
Good to know that by government definition, I am young for all of you people out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so as part of the youth, Lina, what does success mean to you?
So this is a really tough question because, one, I haven't actually thought about my personal definition of success before we were introduced and you asked me to come speak on this. So thank you very much for first having this podcast. I'm such a big fan of podcasts and things that generally make you think and push your thoughts outside of your comfort zone because, you know, that's the only place we grow.
Right.
So upon reflecting on this topic with myself and with a group of my closest friends and family, I feel like success, let's say traditionally, has been about setting goals and achieving those goals or milestones, if you will, and then feeling like, okay, I have succeeded in this, so I am a successful person. And it was very, it had, you know, a time frame and, you know, for example, by the time I'm, whatever, 30, I will have started my own company. I will have made my first million. I'll be managing a team of 20 people and, you know, have Insta fame, if you will.
Okay.
And that's maybe the definition of success that I have been taught and that I've received. And for me, now that I am 30 and I feel like I'm pretty satisfied with the way that I've led the first 30 years of my life, I feel like my definition of success has really evolved into it being a mindset. So not having it be something that is I'm aspiring towards, it's something that I choose to think of and to consciously embody day in and day out. So I know in order for me to believe that I'm a successful person, that I am always in touch with myself mm-hmm. and what my true self wants, and unlearn a lot of what has been taught to me. So to get to the point where I feel like I am living my life for myself and being true to my own purpose, my soul's purpose, if you will.
Okay. No, that's a really amazing answer. And so can you talk to us a bit about how you kind of went from, let's say, that old definition to this new definition? What was that journey like? What kind of steps did you take to kind of get there?
What kind of steps did I take to get there? I think just becoming a manager at 25, for example, having managed a lot of young people mm-hmm. and having excellent role models in my life as well has made me question, what do I want from my career? And is it really to be a manager? Is it really to be a leader? Is it to make a lot of money? And I've been fortunate that I've been exposed to young people as well, much younger than you and I,
yeah.
And see what they talk about as their definition of success. So I used to teach a lot of workshops on entrepreneurship and success skills, quote unquote, mm-hmm. Through my role at InJazz, and hearing the young people and talk about what they aspire towards, it was always financial. It was always, you know, I want my first Lambo by the time I'm 25. And then I would honor that and say, okay, you want your first Lambo. How will you get there? What steps are you going to take? Which always got me to question what is my actual definition of feeling this sense of fulfillment? And it's never actually been financial ever. And now that I'm in a point of transition in my life, I just recently turned 30. My role is changing in my career, or my career is shifting, I should say. It's making me question, what am I going to actually do next? Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to myself.
Right.
And what makes me feel more in touch with myself. And that is really... It's a difficult journey to be in at this point. It's not easy, but I feel like, you know, once I'm accepting that this is the place that I need to be in my life, mm-hmm. That these answers do come. And I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. I mean, I think what you're trying to say is, or I mean, what I'm hearing mm-hmm. is, we grow up with kind of these constructs and
yes.
these thoughts about what success looks like
yeah.
because there's a lot of visual cues that we're given from a very young age. You know, the guy in the Lambo,
yes.
the big mansion,
yeah.
the travel, the expensive watch, you know, all those kind of material things. Those are the easiest kind of indicator mm-hmm. of success. Other indicators are much more harder to see on a person because they're not visual, like how fulfilled that person is,
yeah.
how happy they are
yeah.
truly in their day-to-day life. Those kind of measures are very intangible. And so as a child growing up, if no one's sitting and talking to you about how important those parts are in your day-to-day life, it becomes, you don't know about it.
Yeah.
So what do you think of as success? You think of the financial part.
Yeah.
And then I think also growing up, our parents tend to, I would say, they worry about our, you know, our financial stability. So that's kind of also the focus that they kind of put on. Does
I
that
think,
make sense?
Yeah. Again, going back to that word of unlearning. Unlearning is so important because we live in a collective society. So we want to make sure that our parents are proud of us, the tribe more generally is proud of us. So we have a lot of external influence. And someone asked me last week, if I ask you to introduce yourself without saying your name, your profession, or your association to the people in your life, who are you? Tell me about yourself. And that was like a big slap in the face. And it made me think about it's true, because that is who I am. That is the essence of me as a human being. What does my existence mean? And coming back to that, and I think once you understand who you truly are, then and you're on your own path, your own self-defined path, then that's when you are a successful person. Unlearning that definition that was passed down to us from our parents. And of course, our parents want us to be secure, as you said, want us to be stable, because they care about us and they love us. But and they're coming from a different generation, right? So that in their time, it was all about the rise of the corporation and having this secure, stable job and rising through the corporate ladder, to eventually be a CEO, if you will. And now our generation is in a different economic
environment.
You know, the recession hit when we were just out of university, and opportunities are not as, let's say, available to us. We have to create our opportunities now. And that's what you're seeing with new technologies, with entrepreneurship, with this growing popularity of becoming an entrepreneur, especially here in Kuwait. So, for example, in doing the research for the youth policy, a lot of young people, when we ask them, do you want to work for the government? Do you want to work for the private sector? Or do you want to be an entrepreneur? More people, more young people than ever are saying that they would like to become entrepreneurs. 50% still say that they want to work for the government, and that's a whole other conversation. But it, for me, it's really promising that a significant number of young people now want to become entrepreneurs. But again, why is that?
Yeah, what's the motivation?
What is driving them to become entrepreneurs? And I think the Talabat carriage success stories are definitely framing a little bit of their desire to become entrepreneurs, because they want that fame and that success are the traditional definition of success. And I think it's, again, important to go back to what really matters, and what is that lasting success. And I don't think it's at all to do with money or fame, because that is so fleeting. So what stays with you? That sense of fulfillment, that sense of purpose, of sticking to it.
Right. And so what I'm hearing, so there is a shift kind of in the definition of success from our parents, where it was kind of like climb your way up the ladder to, no, I'm going to kind of create my own amazing idea, but I don't know what the idea is. I don't know why I want to create it other than I want to be rich and famous. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
And wait, sorry. So I have to be fair. So we had focus groups after we did the national surveys, and the focus groups were really interesting because they had us, they let us hash out a lot of the answers that we were kind of surprised about. So entrepreneurship, we were definitely surprised with that answer. And a lot of young people said that they want to become entrepreneurs because they don't feel like the job that would that they find interesting exists in Kuwait.
Okay.
Another thing that we uncovered is that there is an issue of brain drain. So people like yourself, brilliant young Kuwaitis are
thank you
are moving along to better pastures. So Dubai obviously is a very attractive place because it's still Bil Khalij, and it's still very similar to Kuwait in that you can have a comfortable
lifestyle.
Arabian lifestyle, but also not be so far away from home. So I think it's interesting that young people are looking for more autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also interesting that young people are looking for creating their own a meaningful job,
right,
as well. And that's probably something that's also shifting. Yeah.
No, I agree with that, because I mean, even when I was having a conversation with Zahid, he was talking about how there are a lot of things that Zahid Sultan, by the way, from I think the episode that we were talking about independence, we were talking about how there are a lot of people who are coming up who are young who want to do things like be, for example, a music producer or go into those industries that aren't necessarily fully bloomed yet,
yeah.
And so being young and being kind and having access to, let's say, resources and stuff like that, the thought process is, if it's not there, let me go out and kind of create it. So I do also see that kind of aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make sense. So here's another question for you. Do you think success has a time frame, or do you think of it as a process that changes and evolves over time? Like, how does success kind of look like to you in terms of someone's lifespan, if that makes sense?
I think that, as I said in the beginning, I think it's the way that it's traditionally thought of, is that it's time based. That,
mm-hmm.
okay, so by this age, and that's how I was in my 20s, you know,
mm-hmm.
by this age I will have a master's degree, by that age I will have been married,
okay.
that age, and you start planning and having these markers of you know, if it's age or whatever it is, that I'm going to achieve this. But I think you're, as you said, setting yourself up for failure. It's not a good idea to base your success on having a deadline.
Yeah. And you also said something very interesting about the marriage thing, because I also think a lot of people think of success strictly from a career perspective,
yeah.
and they don't necessarily think of success as a holistic life,
yeah.
and having kind of your whole life together, if that makes sense. What are your thoughts on success on that kind of, I guess, part of things?
That's definitely where I've reached today. One, I think we don't exist in a vacuum, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are because of our relationships with others. And there's this saying, this South African saying, Ubuntu, which is like, I am because you are.
Right.
And that is holding so true for me at this point, that I can't look at my own success in a vacuum.
Right.
If I am succeeding on my own, is that really success? I think it's about preparing people around, or pushing people up around you.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked a few months ago, what are you doing to prepare your shoulders for the next generation?
Right. It's about that legacy.
It's about that legacy, yes. But it's also about keeping in mind that we don't, we're part of a collective,
mm-hmm.
and we're all connected.
Right.
So if I'm helping you, I'm helping myself. If I'm helping myself truly, then I'm helping you.
Yeah.
You know? And it is holistic completely. Caring for someone is the most beautiful thing in the world, and I completely get why our parents are pushing us.
Right.
I'm assuming your parents too,
yeah.
if you're not married, but are pushing us to get married, because it is a part of that. It is a union that is very important. But also, what I like to focus on is that you have a support system, and you have
right.
Companionship, and
right.
But that, again, is a traditional definition of success.
Of success.
That we've inherited from our parents, that this is, you know, or even in religion,
kamil
dintik, when you get married.
Yeah.
But is that really fulfillment? Is that the be-all, end-all?
Right.
So I have my degree, I have my higher education, I have a pretty good job, and the only thing missing is marriage. But
yeah.
I don't think that's what it comes down to. I think it's about
Meaningful relationships. Yeah, and I think you said something really interesting about that support system of the collective, and this is a discussion that I've had over quite a few of the I would say, of the episodes, where we do have a beautiful thing in the fact that we live in a collective. Yes, sometimes it is difficult to navigate, but there is that beautiful support system of being in a collective. And we were having a discussion before we started recording about how I actually didn't know a single person who's been a guest on this podcast before they were a guest on this podcast. The only person I knew was Ghanem, who was my friend, who interviewed me in the pilot episode. But other than that, it was all about reaching out to my network, to my support system, to the collective, and waiting for the and seeing what's out there. And everyone kind of jumped on board to help me and called up their network and was like, oh, you should interview this person, or you should talk to this person. And it's a beautiful thing to be part of that support system. So I think having a good kind of group of people around you is really, really important. Let's kind of jump off from that point. What do you, since we were talking about, like we just said, religion and getting married and you know, whether it's just, you know, kind of looking at it and from a holistic point of view, what do you think is the importance of values in all of this? What role do they play in the definition of success?
This is the most difficult question, I think, for me. I don't know why. But I think the definition of success is very individual. Mm-hmm. The way that I define success and the way that you define success are entirely different, and they are based on our values. Mm-hmm. So I value the collective and making a positive impact in society. I value consciousness, and I value being in touch with my true self. And I believe that that's what will make me a successful person, and I believe that's what will make me a positive influence in society, and hopefully a positive driving force in society, as long as I stick to that path of success and my definition of success. But it's definitely what frames my understanding and my definition of my own personal success.
Okay. So do you think that, for example, for the people that would be in your workshops, where they say, hey, I want to have my first Lambo when I'm 25, and you know, you want to honor that, and you kind of like, okay, what are the next steps that you're going to take towards that? Do you think they need to also be talking and asking themselves, what are the values that they hold dear, to make sure that that kind of helps kind of guide their journey? Or how do you think their values should play into kind of that plan, let's say?
I think that they... Well, first of all, I'm talking about like 15 to 17 year olds.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
boys and girls.
Okay, all right. But I mean, you know, boys and girls still have values and still care about things.
Yeah, but did you see that Jim Carrey meme that went viral a few weeks ago? It was saying, I wish that everyone would be rich and famous so that they see that it's not fulfilling at all.
Right.
You know, and it's so true for young people today that they ascribe their definition of success to these tangible things because maybe it's easier for them to comprehend at that age. Mm-hmm. But it also is scary because what happens when that 15-year-old kid in my workshop turns 25, buys his first Lambo, and then what?
Right.
What is he living for? You know, if it's so concrete, your definition, and it's so, you know, based on something that's tangible, a tangible gain, then what happens?
Once you get that gain.
He's going to go into a crisis,
right,
of purpose, of whatever, because he realizes that that's not the be-all, end-all. And what is his be-all, end-all? And that's what he needs to figure out. And that's what he needs to question. That's what we all need to question.
Yeah.
And continue to question. I think, by the way, this definition will continue to evolve, and our values continue to evolve. Life beats us up.
Very true.
You know, and the idea is that we need to learn how to be resilient, and we need to bounce back.
No, I completely agree. And we, I mean, like you said, what we were thinking of in our 20s is different than how we think now in our 30s, and how we thought in our 20s is very different than how we thought in our teens. And so, yeah, I think your definitions do change, your values do change, and you do have, and based on your life experiences and the things that happen to you. Yeah. But you also have to be open to it, I think.
Yeah. Open to the flow.
Open to the flow.
That's my mantra of the month.
Okay.
Being open to the flow.
All right. So you kind of answered I was going to ask you a question about what role does fulfillment play in being a successful individual. But I'm going to switch it around a bit and be like, how do you know if what you're doing is fulfilling?
Flow. Again.
Okay.
I think it's so powerful when you're on your path. Mm-hmm. And things start to flow. Like, things start to flow into your life. Everything is just kind of, you reach a place of, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but it's not nirvana. It's like, just,
things
you start to manifest things. Yeah, this is a good word, manifest. So I think once you're on your path, on your successful path or whatever, on your path to happiness, to fulfillment, then more and more things...
Someone dropped their phone.
Sorry. More and more things start falling into place, and people start coming into your path that are propelling you further. So I started on this path just recently. I started maybe 3-4 years ago asking these questions. And then in the last 2 months, because of the personal shift that's happening in my life, or professional shift as well, I started going down this path and doing a lot more reading, a lot more journaling, listening to many podcasts, Millennial Mirrors included.
Thanks for the plug.
to push myself to question what is my purpose. What was the original question? Wow.
That's a good answer. But let's go to. For the youth that we are a part of, but mm-hmm. let's say the people who are just now realizing they're not necessarily fulfilled and want to try doing what you're kind of going through at the moment, of trying to find their path. Because I think a lot of people, when you tell them you need to find your path, it's a bit of a airy-fairy thing where they're like, oh, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
So what kind of, I guess, advice would you give to those people? On like what's the first step to take, I guess, or first few steps?
I think we come from a collective society and we give a lot and of our time and mm-hmm. ourselves, and we listen a lot to other people, and that's important, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the issues with millennials is that we've become so arrogant and mm-hmm. we're so cool and 21st century, and we have our hashtags and our and we're not all of us, but we're tech savvy.
Yeah.
And we're very social and we're wired in a different way, but it's important also to listen to the older generations, because they are more wise, they're more weathered. Mm-hmm. And maybe now that I'm over 30, I'm beginning to realize the importance of this more and more. But it's also important to go within. Mm-hmm. And I think my advice to young people is to go into yourself and unlearn what society has told you you are, and society has told you you should want mm-hmm. and you should aspire towards, and sit with yourself. And it's very important if you're religious to pray, and if you're not religious to meditate or journal. I think yoga is also really interesting mm-hmm. To propel you to go into what really drives you.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something so small as taking a walk with someone who makes you think about things in a different way and really uplifts you
mm-hmm.
or, enlightens you through a very strong conversation. It could be volunteering. It could be raising money for a cause if you don't have time to volunteer. It could be mentoring other mm-hmm. people. But unlearn.
Okay.
By all means.
I like that.
Unlearn and go back to what truly makes you happy and makes you your soul soar.
Okay, amazing. So Then let's ask this question. What about fear? How do you think fear plays into this conversation?
So part of this path is not part. I think the beginning is very scary. To be honest, it's really difficult to be vulnerable, I think, for all of us. Mm-hmm. And to be vulnerable with yourself and to really look at yourself in the mirror and be like, Lena, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Is that friendship really going to serve you? Or is that, whatever, going out tonight just for the sake of going out and being with people really going to serve you? There's a lot of fear in this, in uncovering who you really are. But I think we have to lean into it. I think mm-hmm. we have to go deep into ourselves, because that's the only way that we're going to come through on the other side. If we resist it, life is going to knock us down. If we try to run away from it, it's going to catch up with us. So we just need to face it, and we need to face it and go deep into it and deep into ourselves and ask these questions. Fear is very much the ego, mm-hmm. and we need to constantly be conscious of that it's our ego speaking, and we need to check our ego at all times and understand that, you know, we can't let fear take control, because we're not going to go anywhere in our comfort zone. We're not going to evolve at all in our comfort zone. And guess what keeps us in our comfort zone? The fear of what is outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
So we really need to look at that fear, face that fear, and say, you know what, I'm going to use this energy, because fear is energy.
Right.
Use it to propel yourself to move past your comfort zone.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think you also have to kind of learn to fight for yourself and for what you want.
Yeah.
No one's going to show up and fight this battle for you.
No, absolutely.
You need to show up for yourself. You need to kind of be like, okay, I'm afraid. This is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be scary. But if this is what I want for myself, then I need to show up. Mm-hmm. And I need to kind of face it and deal with it.
Yeah. And you're going to fail.
Yeah.
I've failed in different aspects of my life. Am I a failure? No. I think I'm just getting better at failing. So I'm having more calculated, taking more calculated risks.
Yeah.
Like I told you, for the next few months, I'm choosing to not take up another project, because I think it's time for me to go back within and mm-hmm. and self-check and understand myself further and say, what are my goals for the next few months or few years or what have you, and what is really going to make me soar at this point in my life? Because it's definitely different than when I started my career about 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think there's definitely this big kind of taboo about failing, where, especially in our culture, because yes. again, and if you've listened to the Saad al-Madani episode yes. where she talks about, it's so like aib and yes. shameful to yes. fail, where I'm like, you're never going to become successful if you don't fail.
Yeah.
If you failed, at least you've tried.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the mindset you need to have about failure. You can't just not try out of fear of failing, because then you're never going to try anything.
And you're not living.
Yeah.
You're not living.
Yeah.
For example, in relationships, if you're afraid of failing in a relationship and you don't enter into one, mm-hmm. then you're not experiencing love.
Right.
You're not experiencing pain.
Right.
You're not living. Like, that's essentially what life is. It's a series of loves and losses, and it's peaks and troughs, and, you know, it's a river, and just go with the flow. And rivers are never straight, right?
Yep.
Rivers, they twist, they wind, and they're rough at certain patches,
right.
and they're smooth in other patches. And that is, for me, the best analogy of life. It's just learning to be resilient, learning to bounce back better with grace, and accepting that this is gonna, whatever experience you have is going to teach you something. So
right.
do not regret any decision that you make. I think this is also important. Another, going back to my advice to young people, it's don't live your life in regret. Why? You are who you are today, and you are exactly where you are today because of all of your lived experiences. So thank your past self for putting yourself through that, because that's what got you to where you are today.
Yeah. And guys, remember, like, you made the best decision you could make at that time with the information and situation that was happening. Yeah. Like, don't go back and be like, oh, if I could do it over again, because there's no kind of, just learn and move on. You know what I mean?
And I think that's a mindset, this learn and move on. It's like, choose to be conscious of your thoughts and the way that you write your story.
Yeah.
I was telling you about TED Talk that I was listening to, and he was saying hindsight is absolutely not 2020.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't hear at all. But the idea of that is that you write your story.
Yeah.
So be proactive. You are not a victim. You are not you're not passive in your life. You're an observer, and life happens, but you also play a role in that life.
Very
and
true.
Be very intentional in that role that you play in your life and in the life of others. And there was another point I wanted to make about this that I forgot now. It'll come back to me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I have some few questions for you that don't necessarily have to do with success, but just about you in general and about life in general. What is the part of the culture you grew up in that you carry with you always?
Good question. I think the fact that our culture is very much, it's familial, it's tribal in certain ways, which I know is a very negative, it carries a very negative connotation, especially here in Kuwait. But I think it's something that is so beautiful about our culture, is that we've always understood the power of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what life comes down to, our connection to others. And I am because you are.
Right. Okay. And what is the quality you most value in the people you keep around you?
Their ability to love.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to expand?
I'm
going to
sound
that
very mushy-gushy if it's not.
Okay, so we can leave that at that, their ability to love. Yeah. It's no need to define it.
Just,
I like it.
You know, being vulnerable and being able to love themselves and to love me and to love what they do. I'm a lot more intentional about the company that I'm keeping these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, because I want to focus on my own self-love and my own self-development. So I really appreciate my friends and my family, because they are the embodiment of love and some, not all, light. And these are two important values, I guess you can say, mm-hmm. or I don't know, things that I aspire towards that I would like to embody one day. So I'm staying close to them so they rub off on me.
Okay. And one last question. What makes you happy?
Connection.
Okay.
Love connection. And not love in the romantic sense. Love, like feeling that sense of... you know when you have that really good conversation with somebody?
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the day, you're smiling because it was just so freaking fulfilling.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And you have so many aha moments in your head.
I'm having this conversation right now.
Exactly. It's this. This is what makes me so happy. That feeling of connection to other and uncovering some sort of truth.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Lena. I really, really appreciate it. It has been an amazing conversation.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it as well. And thank you for pushing me to question what my definition of success is.
Well, you gave us a lot of really good definitions, and you gave us a lot to think about. I'm going to be thinking about things differently thanks to this conversation.
Wait, can I ask you what your definition of success is before we end?
Sure. I think my definition of success is living a life that is where I'm doing something mm-hmm. that fulfills me, mm-hmm. whatever that happens to be at mm-hmm. that given point in time. While I would say making enough that I can live a comfortable existence and travel and see the world, because that's a very important part for me, mm-hmm. and being surrounded by people who I love and love me.
Beautiful.
I think that pretty much covers it. I don't know.
I think our definition is more similar than not.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, honestly, if people looked inside, they'd find that a lot of the times you're going to find a lot of similarities with mm-hmm. those people around you in terms of what really motivates you and what you really care about. And it's generally not that Lambo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What intrinsically motivates you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So thanks again to everyone who is listening. I love your comments and your feedback, so keep them coming. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, or wherever you're listening to this. We'll be releasing a new episode every week. And for those of you who aren't following me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mishari Alanese. Links are in the episode description. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Bye, guys, and stay safe.